Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen, amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you to the program. Today is December 26, 2019. I thank God for another year, another Christmas. I thank God for all those who are listening. All you've called in is 646-668-2636, or listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Thank you for joining us this evening and being part of our program. Another year, ladies and gentlemen, we made it to another Christmas, another celebration of Jesus' birth, and another opportunity to spend time with our family and friends to encourage each other. We pray that all was well for you, it was a blessing that you was able to minister, to greet each other, to show love to one another, and bless the families and encourage one another, and spend this time at the end of the year together and enjoying one another. Hopefully forgiveness abounded. Reconciliation took place. Some people were released from some things. Some people were delivered from some things. Some families hopefully were reunited. That someone just said, "I'm sorry, forgive me, and I'll try and do better." And we just come back and I just pray that something is different this year than it was last year. And old things have passed away. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about prayer. As we come into the new year, there's going to be a lot of watch night services, New Year's Eve services, a lot of things people are going to come with, taking this opportunity at the end of the year to try and reach, do better, recommit themselves, a lot of things, a lot of renewal. Hopefully a lot of self-evaluation will take part. Where were you this time last year? Where were you in God this time last year? Where was your faith last year? Are you serving the Lord different this year than last year? Are you growing in grace? Are you growing in the knowledge of God? Are you growing in your relationship with Him? Are you growing closer to Him? Are you growing closer to your family? What has God done in your life that you can thank God for? Some things that go on in our lives we take for granted. We minimize them, or we let them pass without giving the due thankfulness for God that He's done something and changed us, changed our circumstances, changed something about us, changed our character, improved our character, showed us something about ourselves that was changed and that we're better and we're growing closer to Him. So sometimes we need to take time out. A lot of folks pray for revival, but I pray that we would take an inventory of ourselves, an inventory of our Christian walk. Are we walking in Christ? What have we done this year that God used us to advance His kingdom? What have we done in our life to help advance His kingdom? And are we living a life that glorifies Him in the midst? Are we checking ourselves? Are we looking in the mirror? Are we checking that we are in the faith? Are we checking in our family relationships? Because a man who has no relationship with his family and doesn't take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever who doesn't know any better. But we confess Christ. What are our relationships with our spouses? What are our relationships with our children? What are our relationships with our church family, our church members? We claim to be members of churches. What are our relationships with our members, our fellow in our local congregations? Where are those relationships? Are they better? Are they growing? Are we drawn to each other? Are we on the same accord, the same vision, the same mission to fulfill? What is our relationship with our pastor and our elders and our leaders that God has appointed over us? Are we laboring in the things of God? Or are we standing on the outside, standing on the fringes? Especially our men, brothers, where are you in the mission and in the mission and the call of the ministry that you're a part of? How are you serving your pastor? How are you serving the local congregants? What are we doing to advance the kingdom? Are we sharing the gospel? What have we done different this year than last year when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to outreach? Is your church going outside the four walls? Or is Sunday service the climax of all your spiritual labors? It's Sunday morning for two, three hours. What are we doing for Christ from Monday to Saturday? What are we sacrificing for God? What are we sacrificing for the Word of God? What are we sacrificing to serve others? And even in this abundance of the holiday season, what have we thought about the least of these? These are the things that we have to look at as men and as a church. And again, as men, husbands, fathers, and sons, leaders in our homes, leaders in the church, and leaders in the community, we set the temperature. We are looked to as leaders to guide and direct. So where are we come the end of the year, and what is the vision for next year? For my brothers out there, my men, the deacons, elders, what is your vision for your pastor? What is his vision for your local congregation for next year? What ministries are going to be started? What ministries are going to be supported? What are we going to do to reach the lost? What are we going to do to reach those less fortunate? Even this temple realm, because all unbelievers are spiritually lost. But what are we going to do in the meantime? Jesus fed 5,000 twice in his ministry in 3 years. What are we doing to help? Are we coming alongside ministries that are out there laboring? Some things I've learned this year is about volunteering our time to people who are already established, who are already out serving the homeless every month, every week. They're out serving. So they always need volunteers. If you want to reach out to me, you can go on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You see the links there for ministries that I've known who are credible, who have character and integrity, who are out serving the homeless. I have the ministries that go out every week. We have ministries that go out once a month. There's a work to be done that we can bring some comfort and some healing and some spiritual ministry to folks who are less fortunate than us. Some have homes, but just don't have food. Some don't have homes or food. Some don't need clothes. You know, there's folk out there right now today, tonight. It's 8:10 in the evening, the day after Christmas, and there's folk who are living outside on the streets. And if you live in the suburbs, there's people living outside in the off the highways, off the bypasses, set up tent cities in the woods, you know, even inside Baltimore City, inside D.C. In some places, you know, there's tent cities. There's folk on corners, on the sidewalks, who are asking for change. I mean, regardless of how you feel about that, but, you know, they're out there for a reason. It could be mental. It could be psychological. It could be victims. There's a lot of reason why people are out on the street, but yet they are out there. So, as Christians, what are we going to do? How are we going to serve? How are we going to reach out to just that one? I mean, we may not be able to save the world. We may not even be able to solve the issue of homelessness, but what are we doing, our part in our little circle? Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., or Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we just talk about the things to encourage men, deal with issues of life, deal with as husbands and fathers and sons, because we have more things in common than we are different, that we're dealing with, that we're struggling, even within the body of Christ. And for those of you out there who are non-believers, trust me, men in the church, we're dealing with the same things you're dealing with. So we encourage you to continue. You can call in. We continue to just encourage you to not give up, no matter what you're going through. Seek God, seek the wisdom of God in His Word, seek the wisdom of God from the people of God around you, because there's someone who has your answer. So God's going to use someone to speak into your life, but again, you have to be open, you have to seek an answer, you have to seek the godly answer. It's easy to seek the world answer, but if you seek the godly answer from godly people, you'll be guided and directed to a place where God can use you. God can bless you, and that's when you have your testimony that you tell of what God has done for you and bring you out the other side. And not that testimony from 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago. You have a testimony from last week, from yesterday, from last weekend, for what God has done, because without Him, you could not have made it. Amen? Amen. But let me open with prayer, then we'll get right into the conversation. Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer. I just want to encourage you in prayer for the 2020 coming up, that as men of God, we begin with prayer in all things. I myself have been slacking in prayer. I was talking to my wife recently and some other brothers about prayer and praying on purpose. You know, we pray a lot of things a lot of times, but are we praying specifically? Are we slowing down our prayers to really seek God, to hear from God? And him hear his answer, because his answer, again, is going to come in a small, quiet sometimes, and what he wants us to do, and what direction he wants us to take. Or we pray for something, and God does it. He gives us opportunities. We pray, God, what should I do? God, which way should I go? And he'll put people, or situations, or opportunities in your life, and that's what he's directing you to guide you to do, because it needs to get done, and he wants to use you to get it done, no matter how small or how great. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we say thank you right now, Lord. God, I thank you for every man that's listening right now, to every mother and every wife who's listening, every husband and father who's listening. Today, oh God, we pray salvation for them, oh God. If they don't know you, God, today would be the day they know you. They will come to know you. You will open their blinded eyes, open their hearts, that they might hear a word that would encourage them. Father, I pray for the brother, oh God, today, oh God, who made it through another Christmas, who's thankful, God, that he was able to bless his children, God. And whatever you put on his heart, that he was able to bless someone and reach out, God. Father, I pray right now, God, that you relieve the stress over people, oh God, for those who did not have and could not do, that they would not feel condemnation or guilt or depression, oh God. Father, encourage them, oh God, even in the midst. And Father, continue to bless your church. Continue to watch over your people, oh God. Stir up your people. Stir up the spirit in your people, oh God, that they would come and live a life that glorifies you and to help to advance your kingdom. Father, we just say thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for what you're about to do. Thank you, God, for just being God. And we ask, oh God, that you continue to cover us, protect us, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen Amen and amen. 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 So anyway, so we are here again. We are live. It's December the 26th, the day after Christmas. And today I just want to encourage my brothers out there for prayer. Encourage you about prayer. Encourage you to spend time in prayer. To step up our prayer lives. Because through prayer, all things come through prayer. This is how God directs, guides us, and we get lined up with his word. We pray his word. We pray our hearts. And then we listen for God to answer our prayers. The things that we write down, I encourage them. Because I always, when I talk to brothers, I always encourage brothers, write, journal your prayers. That way when God answers it, the journal brings back to your memories the thing you prayed. And then when it comes to fruition, you say, man, I prayed that thing, and God has done it in his timing. And that's where we also have to be mature in our prayer, that we're praying and that God will move, and we believe by faith that he's going to move. We don't know when, and we don't know how, but we know if our hearts are sincere and that God is going to move. And that's something we're going to talk about tonight, the precepts of prayer. We're going to talk about sincerity, humility, repentance, obedience, and faith. We're going to touch on a couple of those tonight and just get it started. This is something that came upon my heart again as we come to the end of the year and start to pray about some things and look back and reflect on what God has done in the last year and the answered prayers from this year, from early into the beginning of the year to the things we prayed about. I know there's a lot of things in my life I prayed about and came to, and there's things I prayed about I was still waiting for. But yet we believe that God is in control because he hears our prayers. He knows our needs. He knows our hearts. Amen. Well, let me start. I got a couple announcements here. I'm going to talk about Covenant Life, House Ministries, Beyond the Walls, and the Community of Love United Mentorship Program for 2020. Every fourth Sunday throughout the year, we're going to be having a mentoring program. They're going to start up. There are going to be two locations. The first location is going to be the Taste of the Island and Soul Food Restaurant in Severn, Maryland. They're located at 1153 Reese Road. And the second location is going to be at the Covenant Lifehouse Ministries at 508 McCormick Drive in Glen Burnie, Maryland. There will be mentorships for grades kindergarten through 12, free assistance with the following education categories. We're going to help with school projects, help with writing skills, reading and comprehension, school supplies. If you want to be part of it, if you want to be a mentor, a volunteer for this ongoing effort for 2020, every fourth Sunday in the 2020, you can call Brother Boone at 410-412-4945. That's Brother Boone, 410-412-4945. And reach out to him to be part of it, be a volunteer. We're looking for volunteers. Come out every fourth Sunday and help mentor children, kids in the community from grades kindergarten to 12th grade. And more details, and when you get the time, you can volunteer once. You know, there's 12 months. Out of the next 12 months, can you sacrifice a fourth Sunday afternoon to be part of reaching out to the community, amen, and showing ourselves friendly and coming with a solution to some of the cultural problems we're having, amen. Now, for all those who are listening, if you called in at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad, you can join the conversation, ask questions, share your wisdom or insights, what we're talking about today. All those at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Fall. We also thank you for listening in, and I pray something will be said today that will encourage you to stretch your faith, to go deeper into your prayer life, to do just look in the mirror, just evaluate your walk, evaluate your own prayer life. You know, if there's some areas you fall short in, it could be inconsistency, it could be what you're praying about. It could be what God is. Do you remember what you prayed about 6 months ago, what you prayed about this time last year, and how God has moved, and the things that God has brought you through that you didn't even know about, but yet he kept you. Amen. So let me begin. Let me share the gospel for those who made some of my young listeners or non-believer listeners who may have just tuned in and found this program. always want to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he was the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation to all who repent and believe the gospel. Remember, the gospel is the birth, the life, the death, and most of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His resurrection proves that his sacrifice was acceptable payment for the sins of all mankind, your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world, for all of those who would believe and accept the free gift that was given and the sacrifice that Christ gave for himself, for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So tonight, I just want to, again, we're going to touch on a couple of things here. We're going to give you just a couple of minutes here, and we're going to talk, because I want to encourage brothers. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Tonight is Thursday, the 26th. We're going to be live on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and on Mondays at 8 p.m. In the next couple of sessions, we're going to be talking about prayer, the precepts of prayer. Amen. The first one I'm going to touch on is sincerity. As we look in Scripture, the Scripture gives an example. Jesus tells a story of the Pharisees who did not pray from the heart. They made prayer a mockery. You know, their lives are contradictory to the prayer language they used. They had the great lines of expression. They would pray great and wonderful prayers with great words, and it would sound wonderful, but their hearts were far from the prayer. So we have to check ourselves. Are we sincere in our prayer? Are we sincere in what we're asking God for? Are we sincere and honest and truthful with God when we're praying? Because if we say, you know, it's that old saying in the church, you know, I've been in church a while, and people say, you know, they're going to pray for you. Are we really praying for each other? And without having to tell everybody we're praying for them. Are you praying, brothers, men? Are you praying for your brothers in the church? Are you praying for those brothers who are on the fringe and on the edge? Are you praying for those brothers and those husbands who you know are having problems in their marriages, that they're having problems with their kids, that they're stressing out other health issues? Are you praying for them by name? Remember, these are the men and brothers that you see every week, but are you praying for them by name? Or do you do a general, superficial prayer with no real sincerity about bless the church and bless all those in the congregation? But then you have to ask yourself, are you in connected in relationship with folk who you know where they're struggling? Do you know what's going on in people's lives? Are you transparent enough, and can people trust you enough that you know where people are in their lives and what they need prayer for? Are we a community? Are we in real fellowship? And are we praying sincerely? Amen? So this is the first requisite of successful prayer. God must be approached in spirit and in truth. It says in John 4:24, in spirit and in truth. Are we sincere in our prayer? Do we sincerely pray for our brothers and sisters to do better, to be better? Are we praying for deliverance? Are we praying for folk to be saved? Are we really have a passion in our prayer time to pray that God would open up the hearts of those around us? May it be family members, strangers, co-workers, folks you know who need Christ or need more of Christ. Do we pray for the spiritual maturity of our brothers who are struggling? Are we praying for the spiritual maturity of all everyone in our local churches? For the new convert? You know, so you said someone come to Christ and get baptized. Are we praying for them by name? I know we witnessed the baptism, and that's the best time where everybody hears that person's name, and then we add that person's name to our prayer list. Are we passionate? Are we sincere about the souls that are in need? Are we sincere about the praying for our leaders, all the way from the president down to the county council, city councilman, to the police chief, the sheriff? All those authority, the police officer on the beat, the district attorneys, all the things, those leaders in government, are we praying for them sincerely that God would guide and direct them? I don't care what you believe or what, but they right now, they have the good power and the control, so we pray that God would use them and give them wisdom. Again, if we look into the Old Testament, God used whoever for his purposes in leadership. Remember, God used Pharaoh for a reason. God used Jezebel for a reason. if all those who may not know God are enemies of God, but God, remember, God is sovereign. God is in control. So we pray for our leaders that God can use our leaders. Because believe me, and I believe this, God is in control of all the world leaders. Here in America, we have a lot of issues with stuff that's going on in politics, but yet those are the people who are in power, and I'll be praying for them. Because God can move on their hearts for a specific situation, a specific political stance, whatever it is. Because again, because a lot of stuff you see, there's a lot of things going on that you don't see on the news that you should be praying for your leaders, because they have to do other things that's not always on the front pages. Amen. So we're praying for wisdom. And in the inner desire, urgency, we petition over the things again. Are we praying importantly for our friends? We pleading for the salvation of others. Are we praying and petitioning God to bless others who are in need around us? Are we praying for the healing? Are we praying for the comfort of those sincerely? The thing we have to look at as men and in our prayer life, are we praying sincerely? Do we really want God to move on someone else's behalf? Or the thing that we want God to bless, to use us for, are we really praying for that thing? Amen? And are we sincere? The second precept I want to encourage you on is humility. And understand that prayer is a privilege. Ours, even as attitude, subject to coming in the presence of his sovereignty. Are we humbling ourselves when we speak to God? I know a lot of, I've heard teaching, and I know people teach about, you know, God is our friend, and we can talk to God anyway. But sometimes to me, we don't teach that fully, because we have to understand who God is. He is sovereign. He is in control. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. God, he's the creator of all things. He is the one who spoke and things happened. So we cannot forget that. And so that's where our humility and our prayer comes in. And yes, he's our father because we have a relationship with him. Yes, Jesus is our intercessor and our co-heir. But yet we have to remember God is, and that we humbly come before him, and we have humility in what we're doing and how we're praying. And remember, it's reverence. It's the fear of God, that reverence and fear in our lives and in our prayer life. So again, I just say that just to check ourselves, that where are we? Are we coming to God with sincerity, and are we approaching God with humility, understanding that he is sovereign, he is in control? You know, again, I say that we have to make sure we don't take God off his throne in our time of prayer. Do we do things to honor him? Do we do things in reverence and fear of him for who he is and what he's done and what he is doing? You got to remember, everything that goes on, from the smallest to the greatest, God is in control of. I was talking to a brother recently about, you know, you know why God is so good? Try to stop breathing. I don't mean hold your breath. I mean stop breathing. Stop the exchange from oxygen that you intake into your lungs and then going into your bloodstream. Try and stop your heartbeat just for a moment. Because if your heartbeat was even off by a little, you would have a problem. You would know it right away. So we understand those little things and how the whole world is held in place. You know, I was listening to a sermon talking about the sovereignty of God and how even the universe is being held in place. Because if the universe was off by a degree, by a second, by whatever, there'd be a drastic change in our lives and how we are, and we probably couldn't even survive. The man was talking once about if the earth is tilted at a certain degree. I can't think what it was. I forgot my science, but you know, if the earth was tilted 1 degree either way off its axis, the earth would be, the whole climate and the earth would be totally different. We would either drown or burn up, or freeze to death. The moon, if the moon, the distance the moon from the earth, you changed a little bit. You know, by we talk about, if it just changed in distance, either a little farther or a little closer, how the waters and the tides, and we would flood, or there would be drought. So, you know, this is the things we talk about when we talk about who God is, and why we pray, and why we have to remember who he is and come to him again with reverence and humility. Amen. Repentance, the effectual prayer of the repentant. You talk about, you know, I think about the prodigal. When the prodigal came back to his father, and he sinned against his father and against God. When David talked about how he sinned against God with Bathsheba, his sins, and how repentant he was. Again, our sins causes a separation from God. And we have to have repenting from sin and turning back to God is a step necessary to restore that communion, that fellowship, that connection with God, where God will even hear our prayers, that our prayers will be effective. And with any sin in our life, God is not going to hear our prayers. So repentance is so important that we have to be honest in our repentance. We have to be honest with God in our repentance. You know, but again, you know, people say God knows your heart. He does. He knows how wicked our hearts are, how deceitful our hearts are. But if we're honest with him, that we know that we have to repent for some things. And it's about repenting to him and sometimes about repenting to others. It depends. Because all of us have issues, all of us have secret sins that we necessarily don't have to repent to a human, but we have to repent to God. And there's other sins that we do have to publicly repent to. And not all repentance of all of our sins is necessarily has to be, you know, made public. But there are some things we have to confess publicly. But again, this is where wisdom and discernment comes in and true repentance, because if we seek a forgiveness from others, sometimes we have to let them know the things that we did, that we are sorry, and we're repenting from it. And again, repentance is not just, I don't want to do it again. It's, I'm not going to make those choices. I see it differently. I see God. I want to live obedient to God. And that repentance is not an ongoing, you know, I ask for forgiveness and then I go back and do the same thing. That is not repentance. But I'll leave that for Bible study time. And for pastors, but as men of God, we have to know the importance of repentance and the confession of our sins so that our prayers will be effective. Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm going to touch on one more tonight as we move forward. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I just wanted to give a couple of words of encouragement to you tonight. Continue to press on. We want to go into 2020. We want to review. We want to look at our prayer lives, evaluate it, see if we definitely all need to increase our prayer, but then we need to be more effectual and more on point with our prayer and in our prayer lives and what we're seeking. The final one I'm going to touch on tonight is about obedience. Obedience is a requirement for the divine will, must be from the heart. We have to be obedient to God's word, to his commandments. The Bible, Jesus says, those who, my sheep, know my voice. If you love me, keep my commandments. These are the things that God calls us to, obedience to the word. And let me say this, we're obedient to the word that we know. I don't care how long you've been saved 6 months, a week, 2 years, 5 years, as much time as you spend in the word, and that word that you get is the word you'll be held accountable for and to be obedient to. So as you grow in the knowledge and understanding of the word, as you study the word, and even pray the word, you're talking about prayer tonight, even just pray the scripture. You know, there's all kinds of prayers written within scriptures. Sometimes we use them as cliches, but other times there's real prayers. Paul prayed for all the churches that he planted. Throughout Paul's letters that he wrote to the churches, there's prayers for them. Jesus prayed. He prayed for the disciples. He prayed for those who would come after the disciples, who would not see him physically, but by faith would be saved. He prayed for believers in the future. So there's prayers in the Bible. We can pray the word of God, but God answers the prayers of those who know and obey and keep his commandments. Look at John chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And then also in John chapter 8, verse 29. I just wanted to give those scriptures, take time to study them, meditate on them, study through them, get the understanding of the importance of obedience. And so tonight, we touched on a couple of the precepts of our prayer life, a man's prayer life, and what we must do that we might come to God in sincerity, in humility, in a repentant heart, and come to him in obedience, that we're living a life obedient to his word. Amen. So again, I just want to thank you for coming. Thank you for listening tonight. Also, almost forgot, for the brothers here local in the Baltimore, D.C. area, April 2020, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowships Men's Retreat. We're going to the Black Rock Retreat Center on Friday, the 17th, the 18th, and the 19th. The cost is $125. Deposit of $55 is required by January the 12th. You can reach out to me on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, or you can call at 443-591-3504. Connect with us there. We can get to email you the registration form, and so you can download it, fill the form out, get your information to us. We have a PayPal account set up where we can send you an invoice and you can pay online and be part of it and join us at the Black Rock Retreat Center, April 17th, 18th, and 19th, 2020. I thank you for joining me. I thank you again. I pray that all is well. I pray that your life and your choices, that you will continue to live a life that is pleasing to God. And I want to encourage every man out there, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on in your work life, your home life, your married life, your relationship with your children, or your relationship with those around you, ask God, seek God for the answers, seek him for the directions, and never, never, never give up. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Send it now.
If you don't come, all hope is lost.
Yes, Father.
To them that trust in the cross.
Look to Calvary, Jesus.
Thy power.